You are now listening to the Heroes for Sale podcast. Whether you are a new collector or a seasoned pro, on a daily basis, I cover topics to help you grow your hobby knowledge and strategies to make you money in the market. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to the show. My name is Adam. I am your host. So on today's episode, I'm going to be talking about my thoughts on transparency in the hobby, if it's good or if it's not good. And I think in different circumstances, it's obviously going to be good. I think if, obviously, if you're a content creator and you're making content, transparency is going to be extremely important, because if you have a bunch of some card and you're saying to go buy that person and you're trying to sell it, that's kind of suspect. But if you are, that's one scenario where transparency is needed in the hobby, at least. But there's been a couple things that have popped up, in my opinion, that I think could be, I not need explanation, but I think need this kind of, need this description of the certain thing, and I'm going to talk it out, and I don't think I have a fully developed opinion on. I don't have a fully developed opinion on these things and kind of on the topic itself. So I think as we go through the topics, I will be determining maybe more of my opinion on good or bad as we kind of discuss. So the first thing, transparency in bidding. I think shilling is bad. I think right now there is shilling going on in the hobby on eBay. And so all the PWCC listings, they're under private listings, so you can't see the actual bid history of the bidders, which I think that is a terrible idea. And I really am, I'm pretty surprised that this is like allowed. And I'm guessing it's something on PWCC's end. Maybe it's a feature they just found out about, because it just seems like if you have private bid history, all we have to go on is the actual bids. So it's going to become harder to tell. It's going to become harder to tell if a card actually was bid correctly. I think if a card goes, if you're seeing Lucas sell for $1,500 and then you randomly sell a Lucas sell for $2,000 or even $1,800, I think that's a moment where you're like, okay, so in my opinion, that wouldn't be real. And there's no way that a card that sells 10 times a day for a certain price that just sells $300 over price is the actual price of the card. I would say 50 to 100, even maybe even 200. Because I'm sure there's somebody, if it's buy it now, excuse me, if it's buy it now, that's more realistic than bids. Because, like I said, this card sells 5 to 10, maybe 15 times a day. There's no reason for someone to just overpay $300 for it or $500. So that's obviously where we can see and we can say, well, that's not legit. But I was looking at two listings actually that ended last night from PWCC, and I don't mean to keep picking on them here, but they are the ones that sold these cards, and they are the ones that have these private listings. So I'm going to use them as an example. And PWCC has had its issues in the past, and there's still cases going out. Like there's a FBI federal case against them. I don't know if it's still against them or what, but like the rumor was at the 2019 National that the FBI showed up and served them papers at the National. I wasn't there, so I can't confirm whether that happened or not, but for the 2 days I was there, there was like one person at their booth. I actually almost felt bad for them, because every other person's booth was packed to the packed to the packed. I don't know if that's not a phrase, but it was packed to the brim, I guess, with people. And there was literally nobody there. There was not one person in their booth the whole time. Anytime I walked by it, there was not one person there. I think they also got kind of a bad spot, if I'm going to be completely honest. Like, they got, like, all the main sports card vendors and sports card companies were, like, in the middle, and they were, like, off to the side, which I don't know if that was on purpose or not, but either way, they were, like, off to the side where, like, if someone's going to the middle, you probably wouldn't even have seen their booth, but that's kind of neither here nor there. But so, these two listings that ended last night that are kind of sketchy to me, in my opinion, it was a Sidney Crosby and a Alexander Ovechkin PSA 10 auctions that literally ended on the same exact price, $1,875. And if you go in and look at the bid history, obviously you're going to see that they're private. And, you know, I'm looking at the bid history itself, and I mean, you could say everything looks fairly legit. Like, these cards sell sort of in that price range occasionally. Actually, I'm just going to after looking up these prices, it sold right around where it has been selling. Like, it's been selling between 1,800 and 2,000 over the course of the past, like, month or so. Going back into October, it looks like there's an auction that ended for 2,000. There's one that ended for 1,800. There's one that ended for 1,900. 1,600 one ended, so that person got probably a pretty good deal there. It would make sense for the card to end in that price range, I'm not going to lie. So, and it's the same with the Crosby was the other one that ended. So it was an Ovechkin and a Crosby that literally ended, they both ended at $1,875. So that is a little weird to me. Now, looking at the bid history, like, for it to get bid up to those numbers, like, isn't necessarily weird. Like, to see, because if you go into the bid history of the Crosby, it goes from 1,200 to 1,700, and then from 1,700, it looks like it gets kind of regularly bid from 2 days left until the auction ends at 1,800. And if you look at the Ovechkin, I'm going to pull up the bid history right now and take a look at it. I think it's a similar story. There's more bids on the Crosby, I believe. I think there was 35 bids on the Ovechkin. I think there's around 25 on the Crosby. So, I mean, the Ovechkin goes from $740, which these are like 9 days ago. So realistically, it's probably just somebody just putting in like a high bid, or they already put in a high bid and the number got bid up. So it goes from 740 to 1325. So, I mean, in a circumstance where I think if that was higher than the price of the card, that would be a weird number for it to go to. But at the same time, like, it's still far below the price of what the card is. And then it kind of gets bid up gradually until it gets to 1875. But like I said, I am not a fan of the fact that they are allowed to private list these cards. I think that there's so many issues with eBay where there's no protection for the seller. That's kind of my main issue here. The buyer, there are protections where if you get a card and it's not what they said it was or it's damaged, you can do returns. And those should be the only reasons why you're doing returns, by the way. If you're listening to this and you return any card not for those reasons, like, that's just like, that's a scumbag move to do that. Like, because the bid, you can go to Instagram on any single day and you'll see people talking about people canceling their orders or returning their orders. And the reasons you see are just ridiculous. My son bid on the card, you know, whatever the reason, I'm returning this because I found a different deal. Like, it's pretty crazy that eBay allows you to do that. Like, you should, realistically, if I were, and if I'm eBay, I don't care. Like, I'm not, it's so much stuff sells on eBay every single day that, like, it doesn't matter to me. Like, if I'm the company and I see that, sure, maybe you'll lose one or two sellers, but, like, or maybe you'll lose some sellers. I don't know how many would be gone from this, but I do think that eventually once platforms get built, you're probably going to see a decent amount of people leaving eBay. Like, once, like, a real, like, and there are tons of platforms. There's StockX, there is StarStock, there's Check Out My Cards. I know, I think there's a Card Labs, I think, is one that I've seen. SlabStocks is another one that's building a platform to sell cards. So, like, all these companies are building platforms to sell cards, and they're not, they're, it's not just eBay. And I think that's going to make it, I think someone's going to eventually have to make some sort of, someone's going to have to make a platform for the platforms to determine the prices. Someone's going to have to make some sort of information, no, some sort of informational platform where you can see all the prices across a bunch of different platforms. And I think that's just how it's going to have to go, because I don't know. I don't know if eBay ever doesn't become the top. I think eBay will always be the top platform for selling cards because of how, basically how easy it is. I mean, and how many cards are already selling on the platform itself. So I just think that, because I mean, I'm typically using eBay for my pricing. Like, I'm not, like, I know a lot of people still use, like, the Beckett price guide. And I don't necessarily think that's, I don't think it's the wrong way to go. Like, you have Beckett, who is one of the leaders and one of the original big companies in this hobby, saying what a card is worth. I don't think it makes them less credible if they're not correct about a card. They're just, like, if I'm Beckett, that's actually what I would do. If I'm Beckett, I'm creating this platform. I would figure out a way to, anytime someone makes a new platform, to figure out how to get their back-end data and put it on my website, and just, they should just be building the platform. They should be building a platform for what they're doing with the magazine or with their price guides, like with anywhere you can sell. And that also would give resources to people who are just looking for other cards. I mean, realistically, you're between one site or another, you're not going to probably see significant huge differences, just because, like, there would be no point in, no one wants to just sell a card. Like, if someone wanted to sell a card below value, like, there's no reason why they wouldn't just do a 7-day auction on eBay, you know? Like, or because if they put out a buy it now, like, what's the point of not just doing a buy it now on eBay? Like, I understand. Or even this, the, I would do, if I'm trying to sell a card, like, let's say I'm trying to sell a card very soon, like in the next week, maybe, I would put a, if I need to sell the card, no matter what, I would do 2-3-day auctions, in my opinion. And I don't know if this, I've never done this, so I can't speak to if you're going to be getting the market value, but I think people buying cards have become savvy enough that realistically, on eBay, you're not going to find huge deals. Like, you're not going to find a card for $400 or $500 off of what you would normally pay for it. If cards fluctuate, that's different. But you're not going to be getting these crazy deals where someone's going to buy a Luka for $800. Like, that's just not going to happen. Like, there's people who are essentially, I would say there's people who are searching for every single card and every single auction that's ending to see if they can buy that card at whatever price. And if they say they want Lukas at $1,500 and they see that there's an auction ending later today and the card's at $1,400, they're going to put in their $1,500 bid, and if they don't win it, then they're whatever. But they're like, that's just where I think people do that. And so with these PWCC listings, it's really just asking, because now there's no way Probstein doesn't do this. Like, there's no way, like, I haven't checked any Probstein listings, but there's no way that Probstein doesn't now make their auction private, which, like I said, it's just asking for people to shill these items, which is really unfortunate, because that hurts everybody. It hurts the buyer, it hurts the seller, it hurts the buyer because then you have people buying cards over the value, and then that hurts the seller because you have probably people selling cards and they're not going to pay for them because there is a card that's being shilled. Now, if it's through Probstein, that's a little bit different, but you know, that's kind of the point of the private listings. I don't think it's a good idea because eBay, realistically, I don't know what the percentage of eBay sports cards versus other items is. I would imagine that there's probably other markets that are like sports cards within eBay that like buy and people buy and sell stuff all the time. So I don't think it's like 20% of eBay, but I would imagine it's got to be in the 5 to 10% of items that are sold on eBay are sports cards. And people are using eBay for listing cards. They're using eBay to sell cards. Like, just the fact that there's this opportunity that if someone wants to do something shady, they can just do it without any type of repercussions is not good. Like, that's not a good thing. Like, I mean, another example is like, if this were to happen, if people are returning items that they bought on eBay, or they are, if they're returning items or they cancel an order, you should have to, like, it shouldn't just be that you get a ding on your report, like on your, what's it called? Your rating. You should like have like some sort of badge that goes on, like, especially if you do it multiple times. Like, if you do it one time, like, I think there's a difference between if you do it one time or if you're a serial canceller. I don't think that's a thing, but either way, I think you should get some sort of badge on your account name that shows up when you put in a bid, and then the seller should get a notification, and then the seller should say, I'm going to reject that person's bid. That person can't bid on this item, which people do. You can block users on eBay, but blocking users is like super complicated and annoying. Like, I've tried to do it a couple times, and like, it is like almost, it's basically impossible. Like, seriously. So that's an issue. I think that is an issue with sports cards there. Now, the other part of the transparency, where I think it's good, well, it's good and bad. And this is kind of where, this is the PWCC private listings, that's bad. But this, I think, could be argued whether it's good or bad. So the Bowman Chrome X product came out, and the StockX sold the product, and this time they did it a little bit differently. So they had tiers. So you had 70, I think it was 70, 75, 80, 85, 90, 95, 100, 105, 110. And then each of those price tiers had only a certain amount of boxes available. But the whole thing was that StockX, you can see it. There was 1,000 individual boxes that were available, and then there was 500 cases with 5 boxes in each case. So we know how many of each card there's going to be. And again, this is kind of an interesting scenario here, I think, with people being given data, but they don't really care about the data. Like, people want the data of pop reports and how many of each card in print run, and then this StockX product comes out, and they're literally, it's given to them. Like, it's given, there's 500 cases, which then equals, it's roughly 2,500 boxes, because there's 5 in each, so it's 5 times 500, it's 2,500, and then there's an extra 1,000 cases, or 1,000 boxes, so there's roughly 3,500 boxes, and then each of the cards, there's only one card in the box, so there's only 3,500 cards of the total print run of all of the cards. So I think there's something like, I think there's 80 players on the checklist, so I'm not going to do the math and break down how many of each player there is. But then there's also number to 5 parallel. I think it's number to 5 and number to 10. It's either number to 5 or it's number to 1. I'm not 100% sure, but I know there was red and gold parallels in this product this year. Other than, and this is on top of, I think, the green parallel that they use, which is, like I said, people got angry that they were like, oh, why would they go with the green parallel? It's like the completely ignoring the fact that StockX's main color is green. Like, it's really odd sometimes. People in the hobby, like, just completely ignore. They will say something and it's to prove their point, and they don't care one way or the other whether it's like, whether what they're saying is like correct or whether it's just like not, I don't know. And it's not that it's not correct. Like, yeah, maybe if I'm StockX, maybe I'd go with a different color. I don't know. But like, the StockX color is green, so that's why they chose green. It just seemed like it was very simple, but I saw a lot of people originally when this product came out, not this time around, but last time, that they were complaining about the product being green. It's like, what are we talking about here? So, but realist, back to the point here. So, we know how many cards there are, we know how many boxes there are, and we know what the boxes all sold at for the most part. Like, you probably don't know if someone bought the box for 70 or 110, but if you were early, and I think this is a good way, I think this is a pretty good way to release the product. I think it's interesting. I think it's a good system that potentially allows people to buy the boxes, like, and actually get the boxes and not have them all go to, like, bots or whatever, because that's sort of been an issue in the recent time is bots buying all the boxes. So I think it's a good, it's the transparency here with this individual product. I understand that they can't necessarily do that with a product like Prizm because there's just so much of it. And there's also a bunch of different releases. There's Mega Boxes, there's Hobby Boxes, there's First Off the Line Boxes, there's Fanatics Boxes, there's Hobby, there's 10 different releases. There's 10 different types of boxes you can get. So you can't really come out and say there are 1,500 hobby boxes, and these are not numbers that I know. I'm making these numbers up, and that's probably extremely low. If I had to realistically guess, there's probably like somewhere in the 10 to 15, maybe even 100,000. I don't even know. So those are numbers I'm making up off the top of my head, to be completely honest. But so with these boxes, since it's one individual release, we know the exact number of how many of these cards there are. But it seems like people don't care as much, which is, and maybe I'm incorrect here, maybe this opinion that I have that people want all this data is not correct, and honestly it could also just be the fact that it's like, it's kind of like a secondary product that's not really like a super popular one. So like, if they were to do this with, I don't know, like it, I think if Panini were to do this with some sort of basketball product, I think it would be a good idea where you say how many boxes there are, and then how many, maybe you say how many cards are in each box or something. I don't know exactly what you do here with that, but I think that type of transparency, I think, is interesting, and I don't think we'll ever get to a point where, like, base products say how many boxes there are, but I do think just the fact that there's the market itself, since the market is so powerful, I think that it's important to the future of cards. I think it's important in some cases that it's important to say how many there are, because it's like, if you don't know how many cards there are, how can you really give something, how can something actually have sustainable, realistic value if we don't know how many of it there are? And I understand you could say, well, maybe look at like money, for example. Like, we don't know how many bills there are, but I don't think that's actually really that good of an example, but I think you understand sort of the concept here is like the cards, they have value, but like hypothetically, if Panini were to come out and say, like right now, I don't know off the top of my head, the page never loads, so I don't know. I would say there's probably 20,000 Lukas graded. If Panini were to come out and say there are 200,000 Luka cards, like in circulation, 200,000 Prizm Luka cards, I think that would affect the pricing of the cards. But I think the information would have to come out before I really think I would know whether it would be positive or negative. Because, like I said, if there's 15,000 PSA 10s, if, I don't know what two, let's just do the math on a calculator really quickly. So 15,000 divided by 200,000, that's less than 1%. Or no, wait. Actually, no, it's 7%. So 7%, 7.5% of the Lukas are PSA 10s. Would that affect the prices if Panini were to come out and say there's 200,000 Lukas that we printed? I don't know. And I think it's dangerous information that hopefully never gets leaked. I'm hoping that there's never a time where someone can find this information and not and put it out without Panini's consent, because I think that's kind of dangerous. But I think that the concept of knowing how many cards there are, I think is something that we're going to... There's going to be a product in the future that's popular, in my opinion, that we know how many cards there are, and with the boxes, for example, like, we know there's 35,000... We know there's 3,500 boxes, and they're selling for around $200 on eBay right now. So, you know, once these boxes start getting bought, they're going to get opened, and I don't know what the... Like, I don't know if this is the type of product where 100% of the boxes are going to be opened, like, if someone's going to keep it or what, but, like, I don't know how they would do it. I don't know how you'd really track it, but I think there's just more tracking and more transparency that I think potentially will happen in the hobby. I don't know when or how it's going to happen, but I think at some point there will be a product that we know how many, it's going to be a popular product, and we know how many of the certain cards there are. Similar to the StockX product, but I think that it's going to be more like an important product. And that's all I've got for today's episode. So I want to thank you all for listening. If you want to subscribe on iTunes and leave a review, that would be phenomenal. If you want to go follow on all the social medias, you know it's Twitter, TikTok, Instagram, YouTube, Reddit. Thank you all for listening, and I'll see you in the next episode.